Moncrief on News Talk.
As you've noticed, rugby players tend to be fairly big fellas, and that's not just genetics. They follow a diet sometimes to keep themselves that way. And to discover exactly what that is, Charles Richardson, rugby reporter for the Daily Telegraph, decided to follow the rugby bulking diet. Afternoon, Charles.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Now, as I understand it, they will go on this diet if they've been injured and so forth, and will they lose weight or something if they're sitting at home watching Netflix?
Yeah, I suppose there's a couple of reasons why a rugby player might go on a diet like this. Certainly the reason that you've just said, if they've had a, I don't know, if they've broken their leg, or if they've had a knee injury that's stopped them from being so mobile, and they'll have to rest and not be able to walk and exercise and not be able to gym maybe as much, they'll lose a lot of weight. And so before they take the field again, they'll need to put weight back on to get them to a sort of a weight that would be safe and appropriate for the level that they're playing at. There's also, you get quite a lot of front row forwards before they make the jump from youth rugby to adult rugby. They might need to put on a bit of size quite quickly to keep up with the sort of rigours of adult rugby if they're a sort of 18, 19 year old in the academy.
Right, okay. Now, before you embarked on the actual diet, you did have to go for kind of medical assessment to make sure it wouldn't kill you.
Well, I probably should have done. Don't tell the bosses that. But no, I didn't actually go for a medical assessment, because we worked with the nutritionist who works with the England rugby team and also with the British and Irish Lions. He wrote a plan for me. It was based on my level of exercise, my height, my weight, my age, that sort of thing. If I was a professional elite athlete, he would have done greater tests on me to get a more precise and specific regime. But obviously he was doing this sort of out of the goodness of his heart. So there was a bit of guesswork involved. But in the end, we got a regime that he was happy with and that was incredibly taxing and a struggle for me.
Yeah. Now, you're 6'5", so you're quite big yourself. So that probably influenced how much they reckoned you could take in.
Well, 100%, yeah. It was tailored to me bespokely. So I had to eat 4,200 calories a day. But that was because I was touching 110 kilograms and I was 6'5". A player, if someone was 5'5", they wouldn't have to eat 4,200 calories a day, for instance.
Yeah. What did you have for breakfast?
I had 3 eggs, 3 rounds of sourdough, lots of oats and granola, Greek yogurt, a glass of orange juice, blueberries and mixed fruit. And it was a real shock to the system. Not only is that a very large breakfast anyway, but I'm not a big breakfast eater. So it was a real shock to the system.
Yeah. And so then you wouldn't be waiting until lunchtime. Like, what was the recommended gap between each meal?
So that was breakfast. The timings were sort of a little bit flexible, but that was breakfast. And then there'd be a mid-morning smoothie that was more Greek yogurt, milk, protein powder, whey protein powder, more berries, honey. And then it was lunch, which was also massive and also very, very carby. So I felt very full very quickly. But by lunchtime on the first day, I'd eaten more food than I would in a normal day.
Yeah. And then there's afternoon tea, and then there's dinner, where you half a kilo of potatoes. Mother of God.
Yeah. And then there was a bedtime protein shake as well, which, as I wrote in the piece, by day 5, day 6, that was what was slipping by the wayside. I just couldn't stomach it anymore. Quite literally, I just could not stomach a bedtime protein shake.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. Did you feel vomity at any point?
Yeah, massively. Yeah, there were times where I was struggling to keep it down. I think I did up my exercise rate and regularity because of it, from what I told the nutritionist beforehand, because I just realized that if I didn't, then I was going to fail pretty quickly at doing this, because I also didn't actually need to put the weight on. So I didn't really want to put the weight on, but I did actually end up putting on quite a little bit of weight in a week. And if I'd have done it for the 4 weeks that he would recommend a player doing this for, then I would have put on genuinely a serious amount of weight.
Oh my word. And how much of your day was then taken up with eating?
far too much. My day revolved around that. I spent the whole day in the kitchen. I was trying to do my job, which is reporting on the England rugby team, which obviously I'm struggling a little bit at the minute. But I was trying to do my day job of, we'll talk about that another time, trying to do my day job of talking about the and writing about the England rugby team. My day was revolving around eating, around cooking, around emptying and refilling the dishwasher, and other household appliances. Got a really thorough workout as well,
I would imagine. So, and how did you feel it affected you physically? Did you make you feel drowsy or what?
Yeah, really drowsy, really bloated, because I don't really, as I said, I don't really eat breakfast, and I try to limit the amount of carbs that I eat anyway. Because of that reason, they make me feel quite drowsy and bloated. So therefore, this was a real shock to the system, because lunch and dinner, the carbohydrate portion was enormous. Well, as you've seen and as you've just read out, the carbohydrate portion was enormous. It was all wholemeal. It was all eating very clean. But it was just in such bulk and such quantities that it just made you not enjoy it anymore.
Yeah, I'd imagine so. Yeah. Did it affect your sleep?
No, it didn't affect my sleep. It didn't affect my sleep in any way. I was okay. I think I was just so drained and so tired each night that I slept okay.
Yeah. And so with each passing day, you'd get up in the morning and go, no, I have to eat all this stuff again. Did it become increasingly more difficult?
Yeah, 100%. I was basically force feeding myself by the end. And I was keeping a video diary each day, which is, again, is in the piece. And I was sort of, by day three, I was running out of sort of original or unique things to say. Yeah. It's just the same thing every day of, God, this is awful. God, this is awful. God, this is awful. real struggle. I'm so full. I don't want to do this anymore. And sort of by the end, I was limping towards the finish line. The fact that it was only a week made it slightly more palatable, because I knew that it was only 7 days. I knew that it was a short thing. I could see the finish line after starting. I basically had all of the food in my fridge on day one, bar a few other bits, but on day one. So it was just a case of working through my fridge and then it's done.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. At least you had that. Not to be indelicate, but how did it affect your bowels?
Yeah. My loo roll purchases went through the roof. Yeah.
Fair enough. That's a vivid enough picture, I think, Charles.
Yeah.
When you were finished it, did you go, now I want to eat this? Or did you feel like, now I don't want to eat anything?
So since I've not really had any beef or any red meat. I haven't really had much fish. I've really cut back on the carbs. Eggs I'm sort of fine with, because that was the actual bit of it that I actually did quite enjoy, having scrambled eggs for breakfast every morning. But in terms of, I've massively cut down on what I'm eating and the quantities that I'm eating, even from my normal levels, just to try and, because I put on 1.7 kilos. So I want to try and lose that.
Yeah.
Which doesn't sound like a lot, and it's not tons, but it's a lot in a week.
Yeah, indeed. Did you speak to any rugby players about this, and do they dread having to do this, or did they take it in their stride?
So I didn't speak to anyone directly for this, but actually at the Telegraph we did an interview with Emmanuel Eogan, who's the Northampton and England loose head prop in 2021, where Northampton had a bit of an injury crisis in the front row, and he was an academy prop at the time, and he basically was being chucked in, a senior academy prop, and he was being chucked into the deep end. He was going to have to play first team rugby off the bench, and they put him on the Saints put him on a really, really rapid bulk, and he was getting up at 4 a.m. to have, so basically in the middle of the night, to have protein shakes, and he was sort of consuming round the clock.
That is dedication. Charles.
Yeah, more dedicated than me.
Yeah, Charles, thanks a million for telling us about that. Fair juice. Yeah, that was Charles Richardson there, rugby reporter for the Daily Telegraph.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.